The Oregon Parks and Recreation Commission gathers for a two-day meeting this week in Joseph, Oregon. One of the items on the agenda is a rerun, a second vote on a plan to swap parkland for private land on the Oregon coast. Assuming the earlier yes vote sticks, the land state parks would give up in the swap is part of the Bandon State Natural Area. That chunk would become part of a golf course. The state would get different chunks elsewhere and cash and help controlling an invasive plant species. We'll hear from several sources in the hour, beginning with Chris Havel at the Oregon Parks and Recreation Department. Chris, welcome back to the Jefferson Exchange.
Good morning.
Give us the broad view first, if you would, a little description of the Bandon State Natural Area.
So this is a park about 1,300 acres on the south coast near Bandon, as you might have guessed. The park was built over a relatively long period of time, 20, 30 years or so, first with some state park purchases from private owners and then from a relatively large purchase from the federal government, the Bureau of Land Management. And that property was used as sort of a picnic area and a beach access. All the way through to the current day, there's two beach accesses in the park now, one on the north side and one on the south, sort of a long, skinny park between 101 and the beach.
All right, so parallel to the beach and 101, and that's what makes it rather long and skinny.
Right.
How long, Chris, has the swap been in the works?
So we were approached in 2010 by Bandon Biota, officially, to say, hey, we would like to discuss a land swap at this park in order to receive part of the park and transfer it over to a nonprofit and to use that property as part of a new future golf course in association with some private land that this Bandon Biota already owned in that area. So that sort of kicked off several years of negotiation because we buy and sell property pretty regularly, adding a few parcels, removing a few parcels, building out new parks, or taking things that aren't really contributing to the mission of the system and moving them out of the system. But those are almost always prompted by staff going out and doing their homework and finding willing sellers or willing buyers and doing trades, that sort of thing. This came from outside the department, and we really didn't know what to do with that kind of proposal. So it took, you know, a couple of years to figure out how to respond to an outside proposal, set some rules in place, and then follow through with those. And that took right up until 2014 when we finally acted on the proposal with a vote.
So okay, an unusual procedure then that it didn't initiate with state parks. It initiated from outside, somebody coming to state parks. It sounds like there wasn't much of a mechanism in place to be able to say, let's get on that.
Yeah, well, there wasn't a standard. You know, how do you decide whether something is a good deal for the state and for the public or not? We knew how to evaluate incoming properties and how to decide to move something outside the department based on staff evaluations. But for an outside proposal where there's like mutual benefit now, not just benefit to the department, but to both sides of the arrangement, how do you decide what's a good deal and what's not? The commission adopted new language into our administrative rules that said there had to be overwhelming public benefit to the state and to the public before any kind of deal prompted by an outside party goes through. And that once that standard was in place, then it took quite a while to come to terms that our commission felt represented overwhelming benefit for the public.
So what is the benefit perceived by unloading the land, or is it what you get in return for it?
Yeah, so the first side of that equation, you know, what's the value of the land now? As we're looking at this part of the Bandon State Natural Area that's furthest from the ocean. It's not beachfront property.
The inland side, then.
Yeah, so it's on the east side, away from the ocean, closest to the highway and closest to the private land that Bandon Biota currently owns. And what kind of use does that land support? Well, there's doesn't touch the northern access, but the southern access to the beach does cross over this part of the property. So that's its use right now, is to provide a way for this path to sort of cross over to the beach. With that protected, that wouldn't change under this proposal. That southern access will still remain open. The rest of the property is a mix of wetlands and gorse-covered areas and shore pine forest in some patches. what benefit does that provide to the park system? And the commission's conclusion was that there is some benefit there, but it's not irreplaceable benefit. What do we get then on that side of the equation? If we take 280 acres of this larger property and move it out of the park system, and in exchange, we receive bordering property closer to the ocean on the south side of the park in the New River area. That property also has problems with gorse, and we have problems with several properties on the south coast with gorse. This deal provides $60,000 a year for up to 5 years to combat gorse specifically, so that we're all pushing against this invasive plant in the same way. Also resolves an inholding at Bullards Beach State Park up on the Coquille Spit, a piece of property right on the spit that's surrounded by the park, bringing that into state park ownership. Moves a portion of the Oregon Coast Trail off of a county road on and onto some more pleasing scenes, also north of Bullards Beach State Park. Provided about $450,000 or so to match a federal grant to acquire Whale Cove for scenic protection. That's a 13-acre parcel in Lincoln County, further up north on the coast. And then $2.5 million that would go into an escrow account for use to purchase a major new state park property at some point in the future. We don't know what that property would be, what it looks like, what service it would provide. But we would use that money to provide more benefit than the current 280 acres provides at Bandon State Natural Area. So there's money, there's land, but the real final sum up of it is the public benefit isn't strictly measured in acres or land. It's measured in natural resource protection and in recreation opportunities. And so far as the commission evaluated that, this public is coming out way ahead on this proposal, that there will be better and more recreation and better and more natural resource protection when all is said and done as part of this deal.
Chris Havel at Oregon State Parks is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about the proposed land swap involving the Bandon State Natural Area. We're coming at this from a couple of angles in this hour of the exchange. Join us with your questions and comments at 800-838-3760 around the listening area, 800-838-3760, or by email jx@jeffnet.org. When the commission then considers, Chris, the recreational opportunities, is that just what takes place on land that stays with the state parks? I mean, you're not talking about including the fact that people could play golf in this chunk out of state parks' hands as part of that, right?
Ooh, good question and a good point. So our commission looks at the entire statewide state park system when it evaluates whether there's more recreation and more natural resource benefit through this proposal. But it looks just at the state park system side. So knowing that the recreation through Bandon State Natural Area won't change, those two trail accesses that I talked about will both remain open and available to the public. All of the other recreation benefit it looks at is within the state park system. It does not look at whether Bandon needs a golf course, whether that kind of use is good or not for the community. We trust that the local governments sort of make that call when they make land use decisions and when they look at water rights and how this property will be used, and also the Bureau of Land Management, which has to review and approve this transfer of the property. They will also be looking at what impact those new kinds of uses on this property would have, both the environmental and the recreational impacts. So this, I should have said at the beginning, this whole deal is contingent on the Bureau of Land Management, who originally sold us this property, them approving the change in use to a golf course and the change in ownership to a nonprofit.
So even if the state says okay, the feds have to give have to sign off on it as well.
Right. And in fact, our commission did say okay to this proposal, that they found the proposal acceptable, and voted to forward it to the BLM for their consideration. They did that in April 2014. The action this week is just to make some minor housekeeping type amendments, changing some dates and names in the document. It doesn't change the essence of the document. This isn't that kind of vote. It's just to make some updates and amendments to the original agreement.
All right, just make sure that the current language reflects what's actually happening.
Yep.
Chris, much has been said about the involvement of former Governor John Kitzhaber with the project. Did that go on down to the staff level?
We haven't seen any I understand the concern, and we've heard the comments, but as we were working this between 2010 and 2014, the involvement from the governor's office was at the policy level. It was the Natural Resource Policy Advisor contacting the department leadership and saying explicitly, if there's a way within your policies and rules to make this happen, we'd like to see it happen because we see the environmental benefits being basically neutral and the economic benefits being strong enough to warrant state support. But they were clear that they didn't want us to do anything except within the policy that we had set. That's why the commission went back and said, well, we don't really have policy direction on this inside the department, so we need to create it and then follow it. And that's where the overwhelming public benefit standard came from. But other than that kind of general statement of support for the proposal, the governor's office really wasn't particularly involved.
We have an email here from Jay in Walterville, California. He points out that golf courses use lots of water and put out some waste also, and there's issues also with the things they use to keep the greens all green. Is that designed into any of this? Is there? And just let me ask the broader question, whether there was any sort of environmental analysis that went into this.
Yeah, both good questions. And once again, we are not a water authority, and we're not a local land use authority. So when we look at the benefits of the proposal, we look at the benefits to the state park system, trusting that the local jurisdictions will do the right thing by their water resources, that they'll work with the Water Resources Department if there is a proposal in the future to change water allocations or use water in different ways. Those kinds of controls are in place in Oregon land use regulations, but they don't involve our department. So, no, we don't get involved in evaluating whether something is a good idea or a bad idea from local land use or water use perspectives. On the environmental side, when the BLM looks at this project and decides whether that it's a good idea or not, they will be looking at the environmental role and impact of this use of the land on the 280-acre property that's proposed. So there are steps along the way to make sure that those things are covered, but they don't involve our department directly.
All right, and I want to get that figure again. 280 acres outgoing on this, right?
That's right. Then, 111 acres on the south side of the park incoming, another 97 acres incoming on the Coquille Spit. There are the 13 acres up at Whale Cove. Didn't come to our department. It went to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service using a grant that we acquired from the feds as well.
And then cash, as you pointed out, to buy other chunks of land as yet unidentified.
Right, yeah. So we don't know how many acres that will be. But once again, it's not really about acres so much as it is about the public use that comes from those acres.
All right. Chris Havel from Oregon Parks and Recreation Department, thanks for giving us the overview of what's going on there with the Bandon State Natural Area. Appreciate your time today.
Yeah.